we're going to continue our study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, specifically the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Last week we looked at what the Bible teaches regarding the prophecies in the New Testament, in the historical books, about the baptism with the Spirit, and we learn that Christ is the one who baptizes the church with His Spirit. Now, tonight we're going to look specifically those instances where baptism with the Spirit is alluded to and intimated. And I think we have four instances in the book of Acts of groups being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we'll look at these. And now one passage, I'm going to do in another lesson in greater depth, but we will at least mention that tonight. But first, turn over with you, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. This is the one that is probably the most famous baptism with the Spirit. Verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And by the way, that's what a church does. That's how it functions. It is united, and a real church actually meets together, gathers together, congregates together in one place. And so it was with the first New Testament church. Mind you, they're already a church here. They had been organized by the Lord Jesus Christ during His earthly ministry. They've already been given the Great Commission. They have already observed the Lord's Supper. They've already had a business meeting. They were a functioning church prior to Acts chapter 2. So this is not the birth of the church. This is when the church that Jesus started was empowered by the baptism with the Spirit. Verse 2, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." Again, I want to specify something here. This is not a universal, invisible, mythical church. They were gathered in this house. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." Notice that. These languages, these tongues, this gift, empowered by the Holy Spirit, these were intelligible languages. It wasn't some nonsensical language that people couldn't understand. They were amazed that they could hear it, every man in his own language, in his own tongue. "And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" These were folks that shouldn't have known these other tongues. They shouldn't have been able to speak them fluently. "And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthenians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And you know what? They were preaching the gospel to them on the day of Pentecost. Now this event, what happened on this occasion, was the fulfillment of the prophecy that John the Baptist spoke of, that we covered last week, that Jesus Christ would baptize that His church with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, look at chapter 1, verse 5. This is why we know that what this is about. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 1. Also, this is referred to in Acts 2:33, where it says, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, which He has shed forth, this which ye now see and hear." He's talking about the events of that day, the baptism with the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit empowered that first church. Now, as we read these, I want you to make some mental notes about what happened on the day of Pentecost. There were some visible things that happened, cloven tongues as of a fire. There was audible things that happened, a mighty rushing wind. There was miraculous gifts that were given, the ability to speak in tongues that they previously would not have been able to speak in. Now another baptism with the Spirit, I think, is set forth in Acts chapter 10. If you would turn there in Acts 10 and verse 44. This is upon the household of Cornelius, who I believe was a saved man. They came and preached to his household. They were saved, they were baptized, and they were Gentiles. And the Lord baptized them with the Spirit. Now notice, we'll read this, Acts 10, verse 44. "While Peter yet spake these words," what words? Verse 43. "To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished." The Jews that were there, that were of the circumcision, they were astonished. "As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." Here is another instance of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, things are a little different here. And I want to, when we review this, I just want you to take note. There's not a settled order how this goes down in each case. Now, the reason why I believe this is an event that is identified as baptism with the Spirit is because of what Peter said to the Jerusalem church. Turn to Acts 11 and verse 15. "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but that ye shall be baptized again. Notice, he's precise with his language. With the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Now, Acts chapter 8, verse 14, I think is another similar event. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, and they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now look over with me to Acts chapter 19. Here is another occasion. Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. There's a red flag, all right, right there. That these disciples didn't even know what the Holy Ghost was. And he said unto them, What then were ye baptized? Baptism identifies your doctrine. You identify your doctrine with your baptism. And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, these weren't real disciples of John the Baptist. They didn't know the truth doctrinally. They didn't identify with the Lord's church. So they were rebaptized. And I'm going to go into greater detail in this passage probably in another week or two. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongue and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Now, all of these instances are a little different. The primary one was Acts chapter 2. But in examining the Bible record, we can't help but notice that in each case, the circumstances were very different. For example, the sound as of a rushing mighty wind and the cloven tongues like as a fire were only manifested on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. That's the only place that the baptism with the Spirit, those things are associated with it. In Acts chapter 2 and 10 and 19, they spoke with tongues when they were baptized with the Spirit, but they did not speak in tongues in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8 and 19, the baptism is associated with the laying on of hands. But in Acts 2 and Acts 10, it's not. The point being, the circumstance that each case had in common was that in every instance, the Holy Spirit was poured out to a distinct and different group of believers. Each outpouring was accompanied with signs that confirmed the reception of the Holy Spirit by that particular group. So those were the instances where it is definite and alluded to, intimated in the book of Acts. Now the purpose of the baptism with the Spirit. People use the word dispensation. It's used in different ways in theology. But the primary sense that I want to use it tonight is the sense of dispensing or distribution of the Spirit. The baptism with the Spirit was the initial dispensation of the Spirit in the New Testament power and blessings to the various groups mentioned in Scripture. John the Baptist taught that only Messiah could baptize with the Spirit. Matthew 3 and verse 11. This was because the baptism with the Spirit had to be purchased for us by the Lord Jesus. You realize that the workings of the Spirit of God in our hearts is a great part of Christ's salvation. It's what He's purchased for us. The sending of the Spirit was proof that Christ's redemptive work was finished, was accepted by the Father, and that Jesus Christ was glorified in heaven. In each recorded case, the baptism with the Spirit of a different group received this blessing. In Acts 2, it was poured out upon the Jewish saints that made up the first church at Jerusalem. Now mind you, I believe that every one of these outpourings of the Spirit, we are still reaping the benefits of this power and this validation and this accreditation of the Lord's church. In Acts chapter 8, the Samaritan believers were also received this baptism and this outpouring of the Spirit. Samaritans were despised by the Jews as half-breeds. But here, because the Spirit of God is working in all nations, among all kindreds, among all people, among all tongues, this is a new work that God is going to now accomplish through His New Testament churches. In Acts chapter 10, you have the Gentiles receiving the baptism with the Spirit. And then in Acts 19 records how it came upon those who knew only John's baptism. Now, next week, we'll get into the sign. What did this signify? It was not only, the baptism with the Spirit was not only a bestowal of the Spirit, but it was also an important sign for unbelievers. It was a sign used to accredit the fact this something miraculous happened. I mean, up to this point, God had worked exclusively through the Jewish people, through the Jewish nation, through Israel. And now, He's going to work specifically through His New Testament church. And He's still doing it. He will until He comes again. Until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. But we'll get into that next week. So we'll stop there for tonight.